Okay, I'm not quite sure exactly where to start. I don't know. I've missed out on 2 days, so I don't know what really has been covered. Basically, the thing which I think which most devotees have felt over the last couple of days, because I haven't been here completely, but I think all of that mood is particularly a mood that is directly coming from particularly the association with Srila Prabhupada. And over the last couple of days I've been, by circumstances, meditating upon Srila Prabhupada because I've been making the Srila Prabhupada slideshow. And I think one of the things, the major thing which comes to heart or comes to mind is the fact that Srila Prabhupada, which we all, to some time or other, always forget, but Srila Prabhupada was particularly an ocean of love. And even though we see many times that Prabhupada's exterior was very serious, the internal mood which Prabhupada conveyed to his disciples was one very much of a very loving feeling. And that was one of the things which I captured when I first came to the temple in Bury Place. I can't remember the exact time, but I think it was early 70s, I think it was around January. And one of the first things that hit me was this overwhelming love for Srila Prabhupada. It was like, it was all pervading in the temple. They always played, there was always a tape playing, Prabhupada singing, and everyone seemed to be always talking about Prabhupada. And one of the wonderful things I remember was that, particularly from Gurdas, Jamuna, Malati, Shamsunda, and the rest of the devotees in the temple, was this amazing sort of love for Srila Prabhupada. And it's very, very hard to convey that particular mood, and that was particularly manifested in the love for Radhalanganeshwara. One of the other things which particularly caught my attention was the fact that in the temple there was this incredible detachment from the material world. It was like once you walked into Bury Place, it was another world that you entered into. And particularly I remember that in those days, when I first arrived, when I first came into the temple, Dhanajaya took me around the temple, and he was showing me, I think he was trying to attract me to the temple, so he took me up to the temple. And I remember particularly that in every single room it was bare. There was nothing. You know, and like he'd open a room and he'd say, and this is the so-and-so room. And I'd look in and there would be nothing. And I thought, wow, you know, and it was like he was really pleased to show me that room. And I thought, well, you know, and then the Brahmachari Ashram was on the top floor. And he opened the room to the Brahmachari Ashram and he said, and this is where we all sleep. And I looked in and it was a room. I mean, how big was that room? It was a tiny room and there wasn't one stitch of bedding. And I thought, wow, these people are really spiritual. They all at night time, they all just lying on the floor. They have this vision. At that time, I was very much attracted to renunciation and the idea of, I was a little bit into kind of like speculation, but I was into this idea of total renunciation from life due to, as Prabhupada said, the frustration of the 60s. But I remember that particularly at that particular time, one of the things is that you didn't have any bedding. No one had anything. So the thing was, if you were late to bed, which I always am, you had to kind of creep up to someone and sneak the blanket off them. So I became quite expert because some devotees used to take more blankets than the others. And I remember I used to have to actually crawl up and kind of sneak the blanket off the person, and that would be the bedding. And the other thing was, we shared everything. I remember we shared everything. We even shared the same toothpaste. We had this is supposed to be the toothpaste that would get rid of everything. I think it almost got rid of my teeth. You know? It was just concentrated mustard oil with salt. And everyone used to put the toothbrush in the morning. Yeah. And then run out, you'd be going around looking to see, well, can I stop off your toothbrush? Yeah. It was a good far out. And the other thing was, particularly which I loved about Burry Place, was that it was very much a family mood. There was an incredible family mood. I mean, there was, I know I can honestly say this, in terms of women and men living together, I never felt any agitation living in Burry Place, you know, as opposed to other temples where you might feel that, but it was such a family mood. I even remember one time the temple was attacked, and we used to, on Saturday night sometimes, people would come and they used to smash the door, hit the door, and now and again they'd smack the window. So I remember one night I just rushed up, and I had a gumshoe on, it was just a piece of toady, and I ran down, and I remember tackling these guys out in the street, and in the course of this fight I lost my gumshoe altogether, and I was chasing these guys down the road in my brown and underwear, you know. I felt a bit of an idiot. But I remember it didn't, at the time it didn't disturb me or anyone else. It was just like I came back and I said, what is my thing that's going on? And the incredible thing about Burry Place was that like everything was centered around Hari Nam. That's the one thing I remember. It was Hari Nam, Hari Nam, and then more Hari Nam. Because one of the things which when I first arrived, I think it was about 7 o'clock at night, there was Aarti, and then right after Aarti we went out in Hari Nam. And sometimes we were out till 10:30, 11 o'clock. And then, I don't know what time we got up from Mangalati though. But I know we used to get back at 11 o'clock at night. And I just remember that the intensity of doing, because in those days, as I remember, there wasn't very many books. That was even before Krishna books. And we used to have BTGs stapled together, I think it was. Wasn't it? Something like that. I remember we used to give out something. But, so I remember that the Hari Nam was like, we used to go out in the morning, 10 o'clock, 11, and then I'd go right through until 1 o'clock, I think someone would bring prasadam out, and then we go through till 5, and then we'd come back, and then we'd have the evening aarti, and then we'd go out for the evening kirtan. And I remember, this is a true story, which I remember very vividly, in that Brahmachari ashram in Burry Place, I actually woke up one night, and I was sitting up, and I looked around, and everyone in the room was chanting Hare Krishna, practically. Everyone in the room was like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I swear, I was looking at each one was actually kind of like, it was almost like the holy name just pervaded the whole room. And I really felt that this is the energy of this temple, that it was constant kirtan, and everybody went in Hari Nam. And one of the beauties of Hari Nam was, I don't even remember even having my own shoes. And I remember that if you were late on Hari Nam, you didn't get any shoes. So one of the things was is that at the rush for Hari Nam was always to get the shoes, because you were covered with the shoes in it. And I remember at least on 4 occasions, people buying shoes for the devotees on Hari Nam. A lady came up to me at least on 2 or 3 occasions, because it was like pouring with rain and these devotees were running around in bare feet at the back. They always run to the back with no shoes. And she was asking me, what size does he take? And I said, what do you mean? She was like, someone at the back, she wanted to buy them some shoes. So I asked him, what size he takes. And that was one of the things that Hari Nam, particularly, is something I remember very dearly, because usually I had to lead it. I know Dhananjaya also, and of course Gurudas and the other devotees. But then in 1970, when they went to India, Papa called, I think Papa took, how many devotees at that time?
18.
He took 18 devotees from the temple.
Not from our temple, all over.
All over, right. But I think at that time, quite a few devotees went from Burry Place. And I remember, somehow or other, I was about 18, and suddenly I became the temple president. So I remember my parents had never actually seen, they hadn't seen me for like 2 or 3 years. And the first time they saw me was been introduced as the head of the Hare Krishna movement with a shaven head on television. My father nearly had a heart attack. What's going on here? I was only 18. And I remember at the time I was particularly worried that Srila Prabhupada would be an anxiety because I was running the show. One of the funny things was, I was never made temple president. No one actually told me I was temple president. It was just that suddenly I realized I had to go and see someone had to take care of the rent. I remember one time, it was a really funny thing. I didn't know even what the debt was, but these two guys came in and they were bailiffs. And they wanted to know how much the beanies were worth. You know, I was saying to them, hey, you know, you can't take the deals, you know.
Prices.
Huh?
Prices.
Yeah, right, prices. But the amazing thing was, I just wanted to emphasize this point, that Bari Place was run by Radha Landeshwara, because I really began to see that. One of the things was that the rent was way behind. Collections weren't exactly very big at that time. And I remember that Mukunda Maharaj had gone to America, and the solicitor was asking me, what were we doing about the rent? So I remember telling him, I said, Michael Grant's gone to America, and he's going to send you a check any day now, you know? So the guy kept ringing me up and said, where's this check, you know? I said, well, he's going to send it. I'm sure he's going to send it. I wasn't sure what he was. I didn't even know what was going on. And what happened was a boy came through one day from L.A., and I think he was on his way out. He was actually on his way to India or something. And he wrote a check out for £400 or something, and I went and paid. And the amazing thing was, it was in dollars, so I paid the solicitor the money in dollars. So he thought it was a check from America. So I remember I got out of that one. It was really nice. Yeah. But particularly, I mean, I owe an enormous amount of my fond memories to Bari Place, to Shimon Gurudas Prabhu, and Malati Prabhu, and Shyam Sundar, and Jamuna, and also I remember Ishan. I was always very enthused by Ishan's trumpet playing on Harinam. He used to play his trumpet, and it was fantastic on Harinam. And Jivananda. And there were so many nice devotees. I can't say one bad thing I could think of, even at the time. They were like, I don't know, it was an incredible experience to associate with such deep, I felt very, very deep love for Srila Prabhupada from those devotees. And I remember on many, many occasions sitting down with Gurudas Prabhu talking over pastimes with Srila Prabhupada, and it went on for all hours of the evening. And that was a constant thing. The other thing which Gurudas Prabhu always did was to give us photos of Prabhupada. If we did well in Sankirtan, we used to get these photographs. And I remember that that used to be the life and soul of Sunday, to get another photo of Prabhupada. But as I say, the major aspect, I don't know if you can describe it, but the particularly major aspect of Bari Place was that it was completely centered around Radha Landeshwara. And I remember when I worked with Jamuna in the kitchen, he used to have to scrub the kitchen floor about two or three times a day. And that used to be my job. And I remember one time I was scrubbing that floor, and I remember I became so overcome. I can only describe it. I've never had a feeling like it since. And I pray that one day Krishna will have it again. But my body started trembling. Because Jamuna used to emphasize so much that the kitchen was like the deity room. So I was just meditating on this is the deity room, and it's got to be really clean. And I was scrubbing and scrubbing. And as I was scrubbing, my body started to shake. And I actually ran out into that little place, you know, where we used to keep the bench door. I went, hey, whoa! I just felt so overcome with this. And that was purely from the mood of the devotees there, that it was this incredible love, Radha Landeshwara. And just the general atmosphere is very hard to describe. And of course, the visits of Srila Prabhupada were always something I remember very deeply was when we had to go to the airport to pick Prabhupada up. Now just to give you an example of Prabhupada's humility, I remember one time Jairi was already out at the airport and we miscalculated the flight. So actually what happened was that Jai Lee had gone out with the vegetable band. He was the one who, and then in those days, a band that was used for the vegetables. I mean, the band that we used for anything else wasn't much. But this band was like a complete wreck. And I remember Jai Lee was out at the airport, and he rung me up in Bury Place. And he said, Prabhupada's here. Prabhupada was actually standing there in the airport, and he was the only one to meet him. And I remember when the van pulled into Bury Place, Srila Prabhupada was sitting there, and I remember seeing his face when he saw the devotees. He just went into complete ecstasy. And he was so, you could see how Prabhupada's whole mood. When I opened the van door, he was standing there like that. Now here's the spiritual master of the Hare Krishna movement. He picked up in a vegetable van. You know, and you think, I thought he was going to blast me. You know, that we picked him up in such an old wreck and no one was to meet him. But Prabhupada was so happy to see his devotees that he stood there like that. I remember when I opened the door, my whole heart just went like that. So I thought, the energy was just so affectionate. There was so much love in Prabhupada just to see the devotees. That was the one thing I always remember about the airport meeting. The first thing you see was Prabhupada's hand at the deep bag. And then he knew he was in the crowd. Because he couldn't see Prabhupada. He threw the deep bag and he was in the crowd. And I remember the first time the doors opened and I saw Prabhupada coming out. He had a smile which was just like, it's indescribable. It was just beaming. It was a beam that just completely... I looked around and every devotee was crying. Every devotee was crying. And I was just stood there. I was to put a garland. I think Buddha's brother would give me a garland to put on Prabhupada. Someone would give me a garland to put on Prabhupada. And I stood there and I just looked at Prabhupada and I didn't move. And Prabhupada walked straight past. I was standing there with a garland. And it was like, you know, I went, and then I chased after Prabhupada and I was trying to get his garland off. Prabhupada was talking to all these people and I thought they were But one of the things mentioned again to the fact that running the temple in Bury Place, I used to write to Prabhupada every 2 weeks. And I always thought that, you know, Prabhupada must be worried. I mean, here I am, I'm a complete idiot, you know, and I mean, I was completely spaced out. I mean, I haven't improved much, but I was really spaced out then. And what happened was, we were having, at that time, we were building a Rathiatra car, and Narayanayana had come over. I think that was the time also, when Rabbatinandampur was in Ukraine. That time was Narayanayana, was Narayanayana there? Narayanayana still there? Right. So he'd come, and he was building his car, and he insisted on building three cars. Three cars. Now we could just about get away with one car. And I remember we went down to meet the High Commissioner of the Police. You know that meeting where you sit with them? So we were sitting on his table, and these are the policemen that arranged the Queen's procession, trooping in the colour, and they, you know, because they look after Trafalgar Square. So here I was with Narayanayana in this meeting, and there's all this top brass from the police, you know. And Narayanayana was going, we have to have three cars. Our Guru Maharaj has said, and we must have. And the policemen were getting really, you know, and he completely blew them all out. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, we've completely ruined our relationship with the police, so I try to patch it up. But one of the funny things, well, it wasn't funny actually, one of the things about Narayanayana was he was really heavy. He's a great soul, I don't want to offend him, but he was really heavy on the devotees building that car. I think he lost about 3 brahmacharis or something. He's gotten really. He used to come back at 11 o'clock at night, or 12 o'clock at night, and they'd be working all day. All of the wood was donated. I remember he had no money whatsoever. And particularly, I remember that we were having a real hard struggle. One of the funny things was, I don't know if you've ever seen the Vyasasthan with all the gold at the back. It's the one we had in Edinburgh. Any devotees would know it. But anyway, he wanted money for this Vyasasthan. And I didn't have a penny. I was running the treasury. And I think we had £2 in the treasury. And he wanted to build this huge Vyasasthan for Srila Prabhupada. And I said to him, I said, Prabhu, we don't have any money whatsoever. Anyway, what happened was then he punched me. And I remember, God, I said, he's going to beat me up, you know? And the funny thing was, here I was standing there looking at him outside Prabhupada's room. The next minute, this fist was coming at me. And right as he punched me, Dhyananda came running down the stairs And by then, he was trained in Vietnam to kill with his hands, you know. He was actually a trained killer. And by then, it just came like, it was like Superman out of clouds. He hit the guy about six times. And then Narayana, these big ears. So when Prabhupada arrived, Narayana was sitting in front of Prabhupada with his big ears. Anyway, just to show you how Prabhupada was very all-pervasive. The first thing Prabhupada did when he arrived at Bari Place, he looked over at me right in the eyes and he said, "Is Narayana's wife here?" And I said, I thought it was a strange question, why Prabhupada would want to know if Narayana's wife here. So I said, "No, Prabhupada, she hasn't come yet. She hasn't arrived." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, that is a big problem." Myself. So I could understand. Prabhupada knew exactly everything that had gone on in the temple. Now don't get me wrong, Narayana is a very sincere devotee. And I tell you, no, seriously, 100%, his dedication was to make that Vyasasthana for Prabhupada. He wasn't angry with me. He was angry that we couldn't get the money.
His brother's McClellan.
Yes.
His mother put me and Dinanath when we opened the temple in Santa Barbara in 1969.
Oh, yeah. No, I have tremendous, the thing was, I don't want to in any way. I'm just saying how funny it was in those days, because all these things were going on. But actually, he built that entire Ratiyatrakar, and somehow he built the Vyasasthana. And that Vyasasthana had big elephants coming out the front of it. It was a beautiful, it's the best Vyasasthana I ever saw. And that was the one that, as I remember, that's the one anyway we took up to Edinburgh, and Father liked it very much. So, anyway, all I remember is that Srila Prabhupada, when he came, I thought that at least he's going to see that I'm so incompetent with being temple president or whatever I was. I don't know, he didn't say temple president, he just did whatever was to be done. But Prabhupada was very, very, I remember he was very, very loving. And he was just incredibly kind. And he never in any way said anything which wasn't 100% encouraging. And I just always remember that fact, that he didn't show any lack of confidence in my incompetency. Anyway, I think I've stopped here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.